Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. This is episode number 144. It is the summertime edition. Summer is here, finally. And I cannot believe it's been a month since we last connected. So I just so appreciate your support as we're working on this modified schedule, sharing that through the summer, we're going to just do one episode in June, one episode in July, ramp it up a little bit in August. But now it's really hard because I have so much to tell you. There's so much going on, and we'll do the best we can today. But just feeling life come back into my spirit, taking a little bit of a break after a really tough May, beginning of June. And I've taken a break from everything. I mean, not on social media a whole lot, not answering emails fast and furious like I usually do, unless it's super essential. And in all things, just focusing on my life, my vocation as wife and mother. Imagine that. But it's been really, really good, like a detox. And the best way I know how to describe it is almost like on a living retreat, going for this slow walk, holding the Lord's hand. And I'm still getting well. I'm still healing. My heart is still healing after losing our baby in almost the second trimester. And so, believe it or not, I've actually been putting all my leftover energy, which is like a sliver, into training for a half marathon. And I'm dying to tell you about it. I have so much to tell you, but I just first and foremost wanted to thank you for your prayers and for your faithful love. And we'll get into that also at the end of the show, just some of your earlier feedback. So without further ado, let's jump in. And to get us caught up on the last episode, it was the end of the school year. So now here we are. And it's crazy because already you're seeing back to school stuff already coming out in some stores. I'm not quite ready for it. So today, we're not going to look back. We're not going to think about what's coming ahead. We're just right now going to focus on the miracle of the moment. No pressure, no rush, no spending or going or doing. I'm just going to drink that in like two friends on the beach in chatting it up about good books and why it's important to be motivated and how to motivate our heart and our spirit and some other fun stuff that we're going to talk about. Except the only thing I ask is, as we imagine that we're on the beach chatting it up, can we just be in our stretchy pants and not bathing suits? Because even in my imagination, I'm not comfortable in my bathing suit. So we've got our stretchy pants on. We're at the beach. Let's go.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting. Big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Oh, all the favorite things. So many favorite things. I've tried to narrow it down to three because we are in the summer reading program time of year. So all three favorite things today and one honorable mention is going to revolve around books, children's literature in particular. And I realized this summer, number one, how quickly our kids grow up. And I don't know that I realize it in the school year because you're just focusing on the grade they're in, getting them through homework. Yeah, you see that they're growing and they need bigger sizes and shoes and things. But in the summer, even a year ago, my oldest son wasn't driving. Now he's driving. He's going to be going into his senior year. I barely see him. He's working all the time. The summer we had last year of all of us kind of gelled together as a unit is different. He's on his own. And not only that, he's already thinking about graduation and what he's going to do after. I can't believe it. And it's really incredible. I even see that with these books we're reading. My kids are all beyond the picture book stage, except for Gus. And so I realize I'm really, really going to miss that because I love those kind of condensed nonfiction biography, true story books, you know, the illustrations are so beautiful. We just read a book that was the history of the Band-Aid, which was really interesting. I never even thought about that. Gus loved it, and I forced my older kids to listen because books like that and the ones I'm going to share with you, I think, transcend any age. And whether you are a parent or in college or a grandparent or a dad, whatever, you got to love these books. So I'm going to share kind of our top three because I'm really loving that Gus is still in this mode and just milking it for all it's worth. So our first one I wanted to share with you is called Gus Finds God. Obviously, I'm a little bit excited about the title because I'm partial to the name Gus. And I have to thank Emmaus Road Publishing. They actually sent me this book, but I would have bought it. I was thrilled to hear about the theme because, well, I'll start with the cover. It's a little boy. He's got a magnifying glass. And the story, as you open the pages, is a simplified, it's an early introduction version of St. Augustine's Confessions, which, let's be honest, Mama needs that too. You know, Confessions is a dense work that is a classic every human should read, but it is dense. It is something that's a bit heady and you really need to absorb and almost have a study guide that goes with it. But how awesome at this age to have an introductory course into Augustine and what it means to discover God. And that's really where it starts. And the book itself comes from Confessions, as I mentioned. It's just worded in such a way that a child or a mom like me could understand. It goes into the story about a little boy. He's out on an adventure. He's searching for God. And then, of course, he finds him as he understands his senses and realizes that God was within as he was looking without, and that is in the world. And if you recognize what I just said there, you know that's part of his Late Have I Loved You classic, which I love. And to be able to, on a lazy summer day, introduce that in a non-threatening way to our, not, I will, maybe a better word is, it's not intimidating. It's just so welcoming and warm and beautiful the way the book is described. So again, it's called Gus Finds God. The author is Michael P. Foley, illustrated by Andrea Dom, and you can get it at St. Paul Center. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all of those online. And so that's our first pick. The other two I actually got from the library. So you can just do a search at your local library. This one is one I was trying to hold back tears, but it's called Silent Days and Silent Dreams, and it's by Alan Say. In this true story, it's about an artist named James Castle. He was deaf and he was autistic. I didn't know anything about this book. I was paging through it, thought it was very compelling, brought it home, and it is one of those simple books that is so powerful. He was a brilliant artist, locked away pretty much most of his life, whether it was in an attic or in a chicken coop. And now I'm trying not to lose it again. But, and I'm going to read this here, it won an award from the American Library Association for Books with Disability Themes. And I pulled a quote from the committee. It says, "The committee was emotionally struck by the perseverance and indomitable spirit of James Castle's journey to communicate in spite of his many challenges." And so I really recommend that one too. Again, you can get it at your library. That's how we found it. It's called Silent Days and Silent Dreams. And then finally, this is a total Holy Spirit moment. I was there collecting books for my kids. In the section that I don't normally go, I happened to see this book and it was called Tear Soup. And I'm still struggling, you know, at that moment with my hormones and my miscarriage and my sadness. And I thought, oh, I got to check this out. I don't know that Gus is going to be interested. I didn't realize that at that moment I had stumbled upon a critically renowned staple, especially for anyone that does grief work, book for children and those of all ages. Have you heard of Tear Soup? So it's about a recipe, I kind of say in air quotes, for healing after loss. And it focuses on an old wise woman. She's a grandmother and she has just suffered a loss in her own life. And so she's headed to the kitchen. She's going to make a special batch of tear soup. And so it talks about the good times, the bad times, the silly times, how we all grieve differently, and that we don't want to forget even the memory of our loss without being specific, basically every kind of loss that a person could experience, and how, again, we all grieve differently. And in the back, there's a whole guidebook for grieving. So I really recommend that for anybody that you know. In fact, I was talking to my bestie, Jen Gerber, about it, and I said, have you heard of this book? And she said, yes, someone gave it to me. And since then, she has heard it several times. And now it's on my radar, and I wanted to share it with you because it is fantastic. It's called Tear Soup, and the author is Pat Schweibert. So there you go. Oh, and the honorable mention that I wanted to tell you. See, there's so much that I have to tell you. The honorable mention that I wanted to make sure to share is a book that we've been reading aloud, but it comes with a big fat neon sign warning on it that it is not necessarily family friendly. And that is why I'm reading it aloud. It does have some language. I'm reading it, like I said, to my older boys, but I have, in vetting it, in my own opinion, decided that it has so much good meat to it. There's so much more that's good that basically anything that I've read that's questionable is just language. I have the ability to omit those words when I'm reading. So it's really fine from that perspective. Would I give it to a 9-year-old and say, here you go, sit in your room and read this? No, absolutely not. So please don't do that. Don't blame me if you order it and give it to a friend and they yell at you and they say, well, Brooke said. No, I'm telling you, this is for an adult, or it's for a mom or a dad that's going to read it aloud and omit the words, unless you don't mind profanity and bad words. You might not. But for us, that's not something that we typically have flying around in our house. So here's the name of the book. It's called Life with a Seal. It is hilarious. In fact, LeBron James on the front has a quote. It says, it's hilarious. It is a New York Times bestseller. And let me see if I can quickly condense the story of the author, because it's really hard to do that. He's Jesse Eitzler. Jesse Eitzler is, I think he's the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's also one of the co-founders of Zico Coconut Water. He's also the founder of the Marquee Private Jet Company and many other entrepreneurial quests. He's a 100-mile race runner, and he happens to be the husband of Sarah Blakely. Sarah Blakely is the founder of Spanx Shapewear Company, so talk about a power couple. And they are the most down-to-earth, awesome couple. But this particular book focuses on the idea, the true story, that Jesse went out to a race with, and I say out, he went out west and at the time was living in New York. And it was, gosh, I'm trying to remember the details of this, whether it was a 100 or 200 mile race, something crazy. It must have been 100 miles. And so he and a group of guys were doing this as a relay, just like everybody else in the country. They kind of went there and they had their relay team, except for one person. His team was himself, and that was Seal. And Seal, I know now, is former Navy SEAL David Goggins, although his identity isn't revealed in the book. The point being, Jesse, this guy, Seal David Goggins, finished the race by himself, broke every bone in his foot, and somehow managed to complete this race on his own, which is superhuman, and yet he did it. And so Jesse decided to cold call him and ask, would you live with me for a month? I want to have your kind of motivation and mental toughness and self-mastery. And so sure enough, that's where this book comes from. David Goggins living with Jesse Eitzler and his wife, Sarah, and their son, Laser, and what he put Jesse through to get him out of his rut, to strengthen him mentally, to toughen him up physically. The book is so funny. And when you have an opportunity to sit with your kids and just laugh, and that's what has been so awesome about this book. And I feel like I yell a lot in the summer because, oh my gosh, am I the only one whose children don't listen? My boys just have a major wax in their ears selectively when I'm asking them to do something. And it's really frustrating because I am not a newbie when it comes to motherhood. I know all the tricks. I will be honest, there are times where I'm just overwhelmed by the circumstances of life and the sheer number of children that I have. I'm tired. But you know, that has been a wonderful time out for all of us, is reading this book. And it's a pretty short, easy read. And so the boys love it. I wouldn't say so much it's for girls, but you know your kids, you know your family. I personally would love to read if it was just me. And I definitely think that guys would like to read it. So it's called Living with a Seal. It's by Jesse Eitzler. And that is the honorable mention.
It's Brooks. House. It's Brooks. House.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run.
Oh, Forrest. Yes. So that's pretty much it in my life lately. Brooks' house has a lot of sweaty laundry rotating in and out of the laundry room, and early morning runs. I've been training for a half marathon coming up in July, which is already weeks away now. I feel like it's been so long since we last connected on the show that this is what I've been doing with my time, my days, my weeks, in the leftover hours that I'm not parenting, which is very far and few between. But it's been a blessing. I mean, there really isn't room for anything else right now. It's odd that it's been such a blessing in some ways, because I am so out of shape. My hormones, my body has been out of whack, so I'm not in good working order. And just to kind of pick up and run 13.1 miles, but I'm doing it nonetheless. I've been training. My son Grant and I actually both. This is a dream of mine to run with one of my children and do a half marathon. And I'm saying that with kind of a caveat, because he's also in soccer going into his freshman year, and he just got his workout schedule. And he's going, Mom, freaking out. I don't know if I could, because they started already, which, you know, soccer's kind of new to us, but it does a lot of these sports in the middle of summer, early summer, already kick off. Pardon the pun. So we're trying to work around that. But I will say that a few days ago, we ran 8 miles together. And that alone, it's not just the race, it's the process of the training has been such a gift. We made a big poster board that had all of our runs day by day logged, and cut out a little Mom and Grant on a stick where we're taping ourselves to this road, and each little tier on the road is a mile marker. And that's our training run that day, as we get closer and closer to that day in July where we do the half marathon. So it's been a gift from God. And that's how I have felt about running over the last 20 years. I am not a natural runner. I'm not a fast runner by any means. In fact, I've never been slower. It doesn't replace the sacraments. It doesn't replace Mass, but I do feel like the Lord has given me the gift of running and to persevere like holy therapy. And so once again, I feel that now. It's kind of pulled me back from the precipice. And that's been our training plan, 5 days a week, ramping up in another couple days to 10 miles. And every one of these runs, an opportunity to reflect coming with it. And so I wrote down some thoughts that I wanted to share on these long runs. Again, it's 5 days a week, anywhere from 3 to 10 miles that I'm running at a time. And so if you're like me, you need to write these things down when you have these reflections. Otherwise, you'll forget. And we need to be reminded of these truths, even if they're self-evident and we've heard them. And so for me, I wanted to put it into writing. So here's what I wrote down, Fun, that applies to life. It really is anything. Number one, how can you get better tomorrow if you don't start today? I do this a lot. I'm going to start eating better. And tomorrow I'm going to get more organized, and I'm going to respond to that person tomorrow because I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And of course, we're human and we don't need to do drastic things, but recognizing that we can make strides in our spiritual life and in everything we do today, and that every day on we can get better. So that's been one thing that's been helping me. Do one thing that is difficult every day. To put it bluntly, do one thing that stinks every day, but you know is good for you. And the first day that I put that into action, I was on the treadmill and a run popped up and it had a customized plan, and I could either do 2 miles or 4 miles. And I'm like, any other day I would have been like, no way am I doing 4 miles, forget that. Well, you know what? I thought of that, I did 4 miles and I finished it. And I was so glad that I did. And the only thing that was different was my mind. And if you hear what athletes do, they visualize. That's a big thing. It never worked for me with foul shots. They always say visualize the foul shot going into the basket. The point is, in the days that I have to get up. The other day, I got up at 4 a.m. When I went to bed, I visualized myself getting up when my alarm went off, putting my shoes on, going out the door, banging out those 4 miles and having a great day. And that's what happened. And I think if we couple it with, Lord, you know my will, you know my heart. And whether my will is weak and my heart is broken, He with His grace can fill that in and give us that determination. And taking that even to our kids, maybe there's a chore and they only do it halfway. And say for you, your one thing that's difficult every day is to do something thoroughly, above and beyond the way that you think it should be done. If you vacuum and it takes you 2 minutes, well, take 10 minutes. And those little strides that might be difficult are really what stretch and help us grow. So that's a biggie too. And that actually came from the Living with the Seal book, by the way, the do one thing that's difficult every day quote. So my kids have heard that too. And we've been talking about that. The next thing, recognize your negative thoughts and then let them go. This I actually got listening to a guided run. Nike, if you have the Nike running app, has added guided runs, which is a game changer. If you've been a longtime listener, you know how much I've loved my treadmill, where you have a coach that's along the ride with you, the run, the walk, whatever. Now Nike's doing that. And they have some really good athletes, coaches that are on the road with you. And this was a thought that came from that. And I don't know, like, I don't want it to sound new agey, because essentially what that means is self-mastery over your thoughts, practicing the presence of God. That's the Brother Lawrence spirituality, where I went through personally, I'll just share with you, a really, really dark place after my miscarriage. And I remember that my doctor was warning me, because I was taking it so well at first, when she had told me that our baby had Down syndrome, and then of course when there was no heartbeat. And I just kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, because I thought, I know that this is going to be hard, but right now I just feel at peace and it's okay. Well, the other shoe did drop, and it was frustrating, because I felt like a more spiritually mature woman would not handle things the way that I'm handling. I wasn't mad at God. I didn't do anything crazy, but I couldn't get up over it. One of the things that helped me was taking into account how I was feeling on a given day. And it included a lot of bad self-talk, because my misery was attached to me eating everything in sight and then not feeling good about my body and then snapping at my family and then feeling bad about that and this whole cycle getting into that. And sometimes we feel like we don't have control over our emotions. And every now and then I will play the hormone card, because I've brought it up like 3 times so far. But I'm just going to put it on the table just this once. In that time, that was a component, but we are strong enough to deal with our frustrations. And that idea of self-inventory, wake up if you're feeling really down or something happens and it triggers sadness or fear or irritation, recognize it for what it is and then let it go. It's like a balloon, just let it go. And what was happening for me is I was having these thoughts come in and I was letting them overtake my spirit. And instead, it's got to be the opposite, where I see, okay, I see that thought. I see that I'm not happy with how I look, or I see that I am feeling low today and I don't want to talk to anybody. Then we need to put the power of our tongue into action and know that we are in control of our thoughts and our words, and to change it. And that changes the perspective. So those are just a few thoughts along the way. And there's no question that it's prompted new motivation for me. The loss I experienced and then turning 40. This crazy time with my son, who is my oldest, and I was sharing a year ago, he wasn't even driving now. And I want to get into this. It's going to have to be another show, because this alone is a topic that I really want to throw out to the parents of older kids, maybe parents whose children have gone into the military. That is a road that we are kind of treading on a little bit. And it's surreal, where over the past few months, my son, my oldest, has visited recruiters and we've learned a lot. My oldest, he has ADD. He's always struggled in school, but he's a really hard worker. He's a great kid. He's a beautiful young man. But his track, his path is not university. He just wants to work. He wants to get into his career. And I think we all know people like that. I'm like that, you know? And I think that our culture is embracing that more and more, whether it's through entrepreneurial apprenticeship or some of these trade schools and different work programs. But for him, one of those paths possibly could be the military. And so we're learning about delayed enlistment, and which means that when he turned 17, he would sign up every month for the next year. He would get $500 a month. And then when he would go into basic training, basically they give you $6,000. And that's even if you are just in the reserves or if you do want to sign up for 2 years or 4 years. And so all of a sudden, the timeline has been bumped up drastically because he's going to be 17 in September and seriously thinking about that. And so if he doesn't sign up at his birthday, he can sign up anytime along that year. But every month he waits, he'd miss out on that $500. And of course, when you're young and you don't have any debt or responsibility, that's a lot of money, $6,000 by the time that you would be 18 and the commitment that goes with it. And what he wants to do, he's interested in pursuing either the culinary arts or possibly canine or fire. So there's three different things that are right there vying for his interest that are all doable. He's talked to an Air Force recruiter. So all of a sudden, it's just a new phase of our life. With my milestone birthday, with my loss, with my oldest son, here we go. I can't believe that it's here. So this time away, if kind of from everything, has been a time of introspection, wanting to be strong for all the things that are coming ahead, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And sometimes that means taking on more. I'm going to take on a challenge. I want to take on more because I need to be ready. But also, I think sometimes that means letting go. And that's what we do at New Year, right? When the year comes and we turn over the new calendar, what do I need to add to my life? That's the thing about Lent as well. What do I need to let go of? What do I need to add to my life? Is it more family time? Is it exercise? Is it joining a Bible study or regular adoration? And then what do I need to excise, cut out of my life? Is it friends that aren't really God-centered and they are taking me away from my faith? Is it too much negative self-talk or social media or junk magazines or shows? Is it a project that's taking up too much time? Because there is so much competing for our time. Once a week, finally being able to get to adoration, knowing that there isn't going to be anything else that is going to creep in. So I just encourage you. I think that's one of those things you can't do enough. You can't tell someone enough that you love them. You can't pray enough. And we can't take inventory enough every day of our priorities. Lord, am I where you want me to be today? And if I'm not, why not? I think we're so afraid to take our hands off control of the ship because we think if we take our hands off the wheel of the ship that it's going to go off course or that it's going to sink. And I don't believe I've had to come to see, the Lord's had to pry my white knuckles off the ship where I just don't have control and he takes it and he steers. And these waters have been smooth and wonderful. So I just wanted to offer that as you head through your summer.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail.
In the last segment of the show today, I just wanted to thank you again for your many emails and Voxers, Facebook messages about our loss, our miscarriage, sharing your stories as well, because again, that has been a powerful reminder that we are not alone. And I'm so frustrated on a personal side note that you don't need to know about, but I'm just telling you, because a message from my friend Michelle came in. She blogs at thejoyfulcelibate.com, had left me the most amazing Voxer that I wanted to share with you about choosing life and also accepting loss. And then I went to send it to my producer and it's gone. So I have to wonder somewhere if there's spiritual warfare going on. But it does allow me to share this quick email from Jocelyn with you that I wanted to just close with as we get ready to wrap up the show. And she says, Brooke, I just want to thank you for sharing your story with all those who struggle, and especially those who struggle to find God in the midst of their struggles. I also want to comment on some of the things you said about being a large family in today's world. I agree, large families are beautiful and such a way to live the gospel every day. It's hard not to hear what others say against it. We have 4 children currently, and we're still discerning what else God is calling us to in regards to openness to life. I'm 40, and although at times I feel very old, I feel like I still have more to offer in regards to being a mother, not only to our 4 children, but also to any more children God might bring into our lives. When people hear that we're considering possibly starting the process to foster, maybe even adopt another child, they think we're crazy. But all that really matters is what God will say when I meet Him at my time of judgment. And sometimes it's hard to remember that. She said, "You're doing a great job, and I know that because only the good moms think they aren't doing a good enough job and do everything in their power to make it better." Thank you so much for that. God bless you. And, you know, I think your email alone is a beautiful testimony for the new evangelization, Jocelyn. And I think that there are volumes of shows that could be dedicated to these topics, whether it is adoption, infertility, miscarriage, loss, natural family planning, and we should devote volumes of shows to this topic. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because honest questions like that are not ever going to be represented in a theology of the body, spiritually rich way in a magazine or on TV or without really seeking it out. And because that is just not our culture. And I'm thinking of that because I was at the salon recently, and the only time I pick up those magazines is when I'm sitting there, and man, the articles were so superficial. And so I think that's why it's so important to have godly girlfriends with wise counsel and understanding of your family and to be able to minister to you through the Holy Spirit. So I love that. And I know that is such a deep and wide topic. And in my own life, I've had so many questions. And that's why I think, especially lately with everything, and that's why I think this running thing has been so good and therapeutic, to be able to get out and to process so many things that I, on my own, don't have time to think about and don't even really know where to start. It's like it just begins to flow when you're out there step by step. I can just go out and allow the Lord's goodness to remind me of who I am. Sometimes we forget who we are and we lose our way. And it was funny because when I first started training for this half marathon, I was feeling really down about myself. I put my running shorts on. They were so tight. My love handles, my waistband kind of buckled under my love handle. And I could feel, I hate it when you're running against the wind and you feel the shirt like on the rolls of your fat. And I'm not, that's just me. I would never have those tiny running briefs. I would never do that. And I was actually running, and believe it or not, I was punching my love handles because I was so mad. And then I thought, what am I am losing my mind. And then I stopped and I thought about every limb on my body. This body has carried healthy babies. My hands have held the hand of my dying fathers and little babies and carried Carolina and everything that I needed to do. My eyes, my ears, my feet have taken me so many places. So I think sometimes, again, it's kind of going back to what are we saying and what's going on in our mind and how can we change that conversation? Recognize, I want to punch my love handles, but today I'm not going to do that. I mean, they're called love handles. I'm just going to grab onto them and love myself. So I do think that it's just a matter of pausing and regaining strength again and remembering who we are in Christ. And I don't think that I may ever outgrow that. And I needed that reminder, just kind of taking a slow walk with the Lord, allowing Him to hold my hand as my Father, and letting Him speak love and strength back into my heart. I hope that you're feeling that too. How is your summer going? Let me know. Let's have a conversation. Are there any books that you love that you've read lately? Any movies that you saw that you want to recommend? Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is a quick way to reach me. Also, Voxer, Brooke Taylor, and the number 1, and you can find me that way. A big happy birthday to my daughter, Carolina. She's going to be turning 8 years old. I miss not doing a show to talk to you about all this stuff, but I will catch you in July. Please don't be a stranger. Send an email. Let me know how your summer's going. Maybe there's a hack or a life-saving tip that you can share for other parents. You know, July gets to be that time where at least in my house, even though it's summer, and in other families with the pool and all the resources, they're just getting started. But for us, I'm beginning to turn that corner where I'm thinking, yeah, I kind of want them to go back to school. So I think if you have a tip, that would be well appreciated by that time. God bless you and keep you. Thank you so much again for your support of the program. If you'd like to become a GTR Good Friend of the Show, please don't hesitate. If you like what you hear, if you want to hear more of Good Things Radio, all you need to do is click on the link, Be a Good Friend of the Show. It's a bit of a tip jar program where you can donate, and that keeps our show going and growing. Also, a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio. He is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. Thank you for his dynamic skills and quick work. If there are any production needs you might have, check him out at CummingHomeStudio.com. Until next time, friends, God bless you and keep you.